Welcome to a recording of Titusville Free Methodist Church, a community planted in the forgiveness, freedom, and fullness of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your interest and pray that you are blessed as you listen to this relevant word.
I told you I would share why we were taking a brief break from the Revelation series. So some of you are aware that my wife has actually been in the hospital actually every day but one since October 3rd, and she's in the hospital this morning, and we appreciate your prayers for her. That would be great. On Friday, there was this very distinct possibility that we were going to be going to Pittsburgh and taking her to a hospital down there, and so all day Friday we were kind of preparing for that eventuality or that possibility. And a part of preparing for that meant giving a shout out to Matt and say, you better warm up in the bullpen or be on standby. And he said, you want me just to plan to go? And I said, that would be good. Why don't you just plan to go? And so Matt is probably readier to go than I am, even though if you want to talk about Revelation, I'm ready to go. We can have a conversation in the hallway, and I have found myself preaching in the middle of more conversations these past few weeks. It's been really fun. Matt's ready to go, and we're going to return to Revelation 4 and 5 next Sunday, and I'll look forward to that. Pastor Matt is going to come and astound us with God's message, right?
So I do have to confess I'm not much of a baseball fan, so the bullpen doesn't mean much to me. I like to think of myself more like Mason Rudolph coming in for Ben Roethlisberger. And if I'm lucky, none of you will come up and give me a concussion today, or else we'll have to call Tyler Duck Brown. And if you didn't get any of that, I'm really sorry. Watch more football. Because that's what I spent the last 30 seconds working on down there. Yeah. All right, well, so what we're doing this morning, when Pastor Tim got a hold of me Friday morning, he said, you could preach anything you want to from Revelation, and I thought about that for about 30 seconds. But honestly, if you've been here the past 2 weeks, and you know that Pastor Tim's put a lot of preparation into this Revelation series, and it's a series that's close to his heart, and honestly, we don't need to sully it with my day and a half worth of thoughts that I would have come up with between Friday and now. So instead, we're going to share from a series that we're doing at Youth Group right now on Wednesdays at Tea for Youth. Now, the way we typically do it at Tea for Youth is we do about a 15-minute message, and then we break up into small groups and discuss it. So in a few minutes, ushers will be coming by to assign you to your group. All right, so I'm kidding. I promise not to make you discuss it in small groups if you promise not to hold me to 15 minutes. Can we agree on that? All right. So what the series is called is called Lifelines, and it's about friendship. And you know what? Like, every time I say, oh, we're going to teach on friendship, like whether I'm talking to you or I'm talking to 16-year-olds, I cringe a little bit. Like, it just feels a little third grade. Like, oh, we're going to talk about friendship, and then we're going to exchange bracelets and have a sleepover or something like that. And I don't know. It just feels kiddy. But if we're being honest, no matter what age we are, a good friend can make some serious difference in our lives and actually help us out whether we know it or not. Now, when we're talking about to teenagers, we talk about having the right kinds of friends. You know, are your friends good for you? And we also talk about, are you good for your friends? Is there intentionality in your relationship and your friendship, and so that you are helping one another? And we could do that this morning, because that's very true and very important for adults too. But I don't think the question for adults is, do you have the right kinds of friends? I think the question is, do you have any friends? Because honestly, the older we get, the more and more isolated we get. The more we age, the more we move through life, the more we find out that we just don't have any friends. Like, you first notice this when you're in your 20s. When you're in your 20s, you notice that you don't really have the number of friends you had when you were in high school. And that's not all bad, because let's be honest, some of us had some really dumb friends in high school, didn't we? And it's probably best that they're not our friends anymore. But we look around and we go, oh, I don't really have as many friends. And maybe that's because we didn't have a close relationship with them and they went away and now we have more meaningful relationships. Or maybe it's because we've moved to this next stage of our lives and we're just struggling to find our place and make new friends. But then, as we get older and older and older, we notice that it's not just that our circle got smaller, it's that our circle is virtually non-existent. We don't really have any friends. And it's not like we don't have anyone you count as a friend. I think everyone here, whether you think you have a lot of friends or hardly any friends, we know people we would call if we were in trouble or there was an emergency, whether it's bad news from the doctor or broke down on the side of the road. Like, we know who we would call and who would come help us. So it's not about that, but it's about the quality of our friendships. Like, for a lot of us, our friendships are really just like a marriage that has lost its love. Like, we're friends, but there's not a lot of relationship there anymore. Our friendships are more like safety nets to bail us out when we get in trouble than something that's actually beneficial for us. But we're actually created. Like, God created us to live in relationship. He made us to live life together, not alone. And I think God has more in mind for us than just these kind of weak safety net sort of friendships that we've settled for. A good friend can be one of the greatest benefits in our life. Friends actually help us along the journey through our life by making it, one, more enjoyable. Like, life's just more fun with friends. But also, they watch our backs. Like, every single one of us has blind spots. We have areas of our life that we just don't see. And actually, those areas can be pretty dangerous. I mean, think about your blind spots with your car. And you can back up and hit something in your blind spot, and you never knew it was there. The same is true for us. Like, there are things in our life that we don't see that could be harmful to us or dangerous to us. Or let's be honest, there's parts of us that people just don't like. Not people, everyone doesn't like. And we don't see it. We miss it. What if some of those emergencies and some of that trouble and some of those bad times that you would call a friend for, you could actually have it taken care of before it became trouble and emergency because you had a friend who said, hey, I think you're heading for trouble. I think things are going to get hard if you keep doing this. Like, wouldn't that be great? We need friends who can see us and help us notice our blind spots so we can do something about it. Well, you know who is really good at being a friend at noticing people's blind spots? It's a Sunday school answer. Jesus, there we go. It's so lame, but he's not. The answer is Jesus. So Jesus was a great friend, and he was great at noticing blind spots. When we first think about the 12, he did everything with the 12. Like, the only real times we see Jesus all alone is when he's praying. Every other time, he's got people with him. He's got the 12, and actually, he's got more friends than that. And this morning, we're going to look at one of those stories about Jesus interacting with some of his friends. So let's pray, and then we'll tackle our passage. Father, thank you for the way you've made us. Life's better with other people. And so we pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts about who we can journey through life with together and why we need them. In your name we pray, amen. So if you've got Bibles, go ahead and find Luke 10. If you don't have a Bible or you can't find one in the pew in front of you, we're going to put it on the screen here in a minute. But this is Jesus interacting with Mary and Martha. And this is towards the beginning of Jesus' relationship, friendship with Mary and Martha. They would end up becoming pretty good friends. We'll see that later on when their brother Lazarus dies and everything that happens there. But this is kind of at the beginning of Jesus forming friendship with them. So we're in Luke 10. And we are going to start in verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So here they are, Mary and Martha. They're inviting their new friend, Jesus, over for the afternoon. Their new friend, their very important new friend, their new friend that basically everyone would be honored to have hanging out with them for the afternoon. And Martha, she starts to feel the pressure. She starts to feel it. She's rushing around, probably tidying things up, preparing a meal, fixing coffee or tea or both, because she doesn't really know what Jesus drinks yet. She's distracted by all this stuff she thinks she needs to do. But Mary, her sister, she just sits beside Jesus and listens. Like, you can picture this, right? So here's Martha rushing room to room, hither, thither, doing this and that. And every time she walks by the room with Jesus, she's giving Mary this look like, "Come on, come on, what are you doing?" And Mary won't even make eye contact with her. She's just focused on Jesus, listening. And Martha starts to have this conversation with Mary in her head. And the more she talks in her head, the more agitated and angry she gets. Ever been there? Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's best we don't have some of those conversations in person. But finally, she just gets so fed up that she walks right up to Jesus and Mary and says, "Jesus, don't you know that my sister's being a jerk to me right now? Can you tell her to get off her butt and do something about it?" That's a little bit of a paraphrase. But that's basically what she's saying. So Jesus takes a deep breath, and he responds. And I think we like to read his response in a tone or in a way that Jesus didn't really intend. Like, sometimes I think we like to view Jesus' response as, "Oh, he got her. Jesus is the king of sick burns. Like, he put it to her." That's not really what he did, though. Like, you can't even really read that. And he says, "Martha, Martha." Like, just his very words are attempting to pull the plug and let the pressure out. Jesus was gentle. That's the first blank on your insert. Jesus was gentle. Martha was taking on all the stress that she didn't need. She was assuming that Jesus would have all these expectations. He's probably been to other people's homes, other people who took very good care of him and did things for him. She was just piling and piling on all these expectations that Jesus didn't actually have. She was in this major people-pleasing mode. She was really ticked that her sister wasn't. Like, this was a blind spot for her. She was in a bad way because she was taking on things she didn't need to. And you know what? If no one ever pointed this out for her, this would be a cycle that would happen over and over and over again. So Jesus handled her gently. Sometimes when people are doing this around us, and we know someone needs to say something, and we decide we're the appointed person to say something, we decide to act like a brick wall, right? Like, they're running around and they're frustrated, and we're just gonna boom, like, lay the word down, and they're gonna slam into us in their frustration, and we think that'll fix it. Like Jesus could have said, "You know, Martha, you're really just wasting your time. No one asked you to do all this stuff." Would that have fixed the situation? Yeah, no. If you've ever been that person who's acted that way, you know that does not fix a frustrated, angry person. You actually make it a whole bunch worse. Instead, he was gentle with her. Jesus was a good friend. Like, he was about to point out a weakness to Martha. He was going to point out a shortcoming. And this is the thing. He wanted to make sure his words were heard. He wanted her to hear him. Like, sometimes when we're just being that brick wall and just throwing it down, like, our words aren't heard. They're just reacted to. We don't want our words to be reacted to. We want our words to be heard. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were sharing with me a conversation they had with someone else, and they had an opinion that was offensive to this other person. And so we were talking through it, and I said sometimes we have opinions and we have stances that are bothersome to other people, even offensive to other people. But our words when we talk about them should never be offensive. Like, your opinion might be offensive, but your words should never be offensive. And so here was Jesus pointing this out to Martha. This was going to be hard. This was going to be awkward, because honestly, she might be a little offended. I mean, in that moment when she's all amped up and all frustrated, and even through Jesus' gentleness, like, she might be a little bit hurt by it. So he doesn't come at her with words that are going to wound her. He comes at her with words that say, Martha, I just need to tell you something. You don't need to do this. He doesn't act like it's the biggest thing in the world, like, Martha, if you don't stop doing this, your life is going to be ruined. Doesn't get all dramatic about it. He says, Martha, we don't need to be doing this right now. Jesus was gentle with her. He speaks to her as a friend. The other thing that Jesus did was Jesus gave Martha the opportunity to grow. He gave her the opportunity to grow. He knew that Martha was missing the boat. He knew that this was something that probably had cycled through her life. She was frustrated maybe with just how Mary behaved, and she was always thinking that she needed to take care of everything and everyone, and putting pressure and stress and responsibility on herself that she honestly didn't need to. And so he took a deep breath and he had that really difficult conversation. Like, a lot of us, we probably would have handled this differently. If we were in Jesus' shoes and Martha comes up and says, don't you see what my sister's doing? Can't you do something about it? Like, we would have said, oh, I'm sorry. I'll stop distracting Mary now. Mary, why don't you go help your sister? Or we would have said, well, why don't we get up and lend a hand now? Like, maybe that would have relieved the stress, but that really wouldn't have helped Martha. That wouldn't have given her the opportunity to grow. She needed to be confronted, but not like we think of confrontation, not that brick wall kind of confrontation. She needed to be confronted in love, so she actually had the opportunity to grow from this. If she was going to grow, it required a conversation, not a statement. Jesus needed to have a conversation with her. Like, we all need friends like this, and we all need to be friends like this to other people, just like Jesus was. We need friends who can help us identify our blind spots and grow from them. So this morning, we're going to call those people spot checkers. A spot checker is someone who isn't afraid to have an awkward but loving conversation with us about our blind spots. An awkward but loving conversation, because it will be awkward. So here's when we need spot checkers in our lives. We need spot checkers when we're drifting. Sometimes we make poor decisions and our life takes some really bad turns. We end up in places and doing things that we didn't actually want to end up and do. But you know what? Those bad decisions, like, we never end up somewhere we don't want to be because we made one bad decision. It is because of a series of bad decisions that we've ended up in this bad place. It's the result of a bunch of seemingly little conversations along the way. We drift. We drift away. Little things that seem harmless quickly become some of the worst moments of our life. One of my favorite quotes from Andy Stanley is when he's talking about sin and bad choices. He says, sin and bad choices, they're never an event. They're never a moment. Sin and bad choices are a path, and you walk that path. You take steps along the way. You drift down the path without even really knowing that you've ended up down there. Like, wouldn't it be awesome if you had someone, if you had a friend who could have a loving conversation with you before you got too far down that path? Like, think about some of the worst decisions you've ever made in your life. But would things have turned out differently if someone had a conversation with you in love before you took too many steps? Now, I get it. Some of you are stubborn, and you're thinking, nope, wouldn't have changed me one little bit because I would have kept on walking. Maybe. But what if? I mean, just think about this for a minute. What if they had talked to you in love and you'd said, nope, doesn't matter, I don't believe what you're saying, everything's fine. But those kind of conversations stick in your head, don't they? Like, when someone says to you, hey, I'm not sure what you're doing is good for you, that sticks around in your mind. And maybe you would have immediately said, nope, I don't believe it. But maybe 4 or 5 steps down the road, that keeps working on you and those seeds are planted. And before you know it, you're starting to turn around because you've forgotten it was their idea and you start to think it's your own anyway. That happens. We need friends who will have hard conversations with us when we're starting to drift. We need spot checkers for when we're distracted. Martha, she was very distracted. She was very distracted. It's really easy for us to get caught up in things like work or hobbies, and both of those things can distract us to the point that they actually become harmful for us. We can get so caught up in work that we miss the important stuff like relationships with our families. We can get so caught up in our hobbies that our spiritual lives begin to suffer. We start to slack with our devotions and our church attendance, and all of a sudden, we find ourselves saying and doing things we wouldn't have done because we're suffering spiritually. We need friends who can actually stop us and say, hey, how are you doing? I mean, how are you doing spiritually? And a friend that we can be honest with. We need a friend who can say, how does your wife, how does your husband feel about all those overtime hours you're taking? Those are hard conversations. Like, no one wants to have them, and no one wants to be on the other end of them. But they're conversations that we need, because we get focused on the wrong things. And those kinds of conversations can put our eyes back in the right place. We need spot checkers when we're drowning. So one of our favorite things to say when things get stressful is we kind of pump ourselves up. We go, I got this. I got this. I'm good. I can handle it. Did you know that when you are overwhelmed and stressed, you are more likely to make bad decisions, and bad decisions that have nothing to do with what you're overwhelmed and stressed about? We get really creative with how we distract ourselves from stress. Really creative. And we're like, well, you know, things are hard, so I'll indulge here. And indulge can mean a whole lot of things. We self-medicate ourselves. And honestly, we could avoid all that if we just let someone help us out with what's overwhelming and stressing us. Even if that means having a conversation where we share about a difficult situation, or we let someone in to our situation to actually be hands and feet helping us, we need to let people in. Like, we need someone who can say, no, you're not good, and no, you don't got this. Let me help you. Like, those are words of a friend. Those are the words of someone who wants to come alongside us. So let me ask you a question. Like, who do you need to have a spot check conversation with? Who in your life? A friend? A family member? Who do you know that's drifting? They're just a little ways down that path, and you could be the voice that helps them turn around. Who do you know that's distracted? They got their focus on all the wrong things, and they're missing some of those important things. Who do you know that's drowning, and they've been saying to you, I'm good, I'm good, I got this, I got this. And you can offer help. They need you to be a spot checker. They need you to have a conversation. Is it going to be awkward? Yeah. Might you be offensive to them? Yeah, maybe. But you've got to approach them in love. And say, hey, you know what? I love you, and I care about you, and this is what I'm seeing. And maybe you'll disagree with me, but I'd be a bad friend if I didn't tell you. Now, here's the harder question. What are your blind spots? Because if you've been digesting some of this message, you probably had something pop up in your mind that was like, oh, that's not someone else, that's me. I do that. I'm guilty of that. I'm overwhelmed here. I'm stressed here. I've been drifting here. I'm distracted here. Can you ask someone to be your spot checker? Can you ask someone to watch your blind spot? Like, that feels like you're asking it punched in the gut, doesn't it? Like, hey, every once in a while, will you just come up and slap me? That's what it feels like. Sometimes we need a little bit of a push. Again, not a slap. We need someone to put their arm around us. and say, are you okay? Because here's what I'm seeing. I don't think you are. We'll wrap up with this. Here's Proverbs 27:6. Go ahead and put it up, John. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. That's a really weird scripture passage, isn't it? What kind of friend wounds you? A friend that loves you. A friend that isn't afraid to have a really difficult conversation. So one time, I had a friend who I felt was making a bad decision. They were getting involved with someone I didn't think they should get involved with. And like one day they even called me and told me they thought that too. I thought, cool, we're going to have a real conversation here. And sure enough, we did. But they didn't end that relationship. They kept going in that relationship. And so I had a spot check conversation. I said, hey, don't you remember, like, this is bad. And you knew it was bad. And they got angry at me. I didn't let my words be offensive, but they got angry at me. And things were awkward for a good period of time. Like, I mean, months, things were awkward. Then things got okay. And then it was several years later that we had another mutual friend who was making a similarly bad decision. And they were approaching this other mutual friend in the same way that I had approached them. I was like, oh. I thought, well, he didn't really like that when I talked to him that way, so maybe I should point out to him that he's talking to this other friend the way I talked to him. And so I did. And you know what he said to me? I said to him, hey, I just want to remind you that I had this kind of conversation with you once, and you didn't like it very much. And he said, but I'm glad you did because someone needed to tell me. It took 3 years for me to finally hear that awkward conversation was worth it. But it mattered to them. It mattered to them. These kind of conversations matter. We have to be willing to step out and have them with other people. Sometimes the best friends can be lifelines, even when we don't realize we need one.
Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit our website at t3church.org to listen to our regular podcast and find out more about all that is T3 Church.